taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Have you ever heard about something, and when you heard it, you said this, I got to go see this. I can't believe that. I got to go check that out. Quite a few years ago, there was an exhibit that was traveling around the United States from China called the Bites. I don't know if you remember it or not. It was billed basically as medical in many ways. They had found a way, and they had taken people who had deceased, and they preserved the bodies in a certain way to show the organs and different things and how they worked. And there was a big debate about it. But Penny and I went to see it when it was over at Mosey. And I got to say it was very tastefully done, and I am so glad I went to see it, because when I walked out of there, I could not help but say, my God, what a God I serve. A God that can make a body like that. A God that can do all those things. It was something that you could tell me about it all day long. But since I saw it, and I saw the effects that they had, that things did on the body, it made me change my lifestyle. And I would say that if you ever get a chance to go see it, don't be squeamish, go see it. And I wish every doctor and nurse had to go see it, because it gave me a whole new insight. I had to go see it, and it changed me. Same thing happened many times when I was hunting. When I was hunting, I always wanted to see what was over the next hill, what was across the creek, what was down there on the other side of that big pine tree, and why was that pine tree so big? And I'd often get into the woods, and when I'd be coming out, I'd start walking down the road, somebody'd pick me up, where's your truck? And I'd tell them, how'd you get here? I wanted to see what was on the other side of that over there. Because seeing it made a difference. I heard about this island. It's supposed to be about a 40-acre island that was in a swamp. I'd been across the swamp, but I hadn't found the island. Nobody could tell me how to get to it, because anybody that found it just stumbled on it. So I decided I was going to find it one day. So I just started right down the middle of that swamp, and it got about this deep, and I was about ready to quit when I found the island. And it was 40 acres in the middle of the deepest swamp. And in that 40 acres, you had pine trees you couldn't even get your hand halfway around, palmettos that were this high, and grass, and all kind of things. And it opened up, and the sun shone there. And after I found it, I would go in there lots of times when it wasn't even hunting season, just sit down and look and just be amazed. Finding it and seeing it for myself done something different than just hearing about it. Well, you know, you turn on the news today, and I'll guarantee you, there's football on today, so maybe not today. But any other time, everybody's going to watch the weather, aren't they? And at the weather, they're going to show you what? A beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, and they're beautiful, aren't they? But they don't have the same effect as if you're sitting on the beach or at the lake or in the woods or whatever, looking at it, or even the back porch. And then when you sit there and see it for yourself, it affects you different, doesn't it? Jesus is the same way. He affects us different when we actually see him and experience him. Talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to talk about it a little more. Our scripture this morning is found in John chapter 1. I'm going to invite you to stand for the first half of the reading, and then I'll let you sit down after that as I talk a little more on it. John chapter 1. Now, here we've got John the Baptist. That's who this is going to be talking about as he's going through his ministry out in the wilderness. The next day he being John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God, the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So in John here, what we have is, combining some of the other gospel situations, Jesus has gone out to the wilderness to see his cousin John, and he was baptized, and you remember the Spirit came down in the form of a dove and landed on him, and God said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And John is telling the story again here, basically. He's telling us, I saw this happen. This is one of those things where he tells you. Now, if you're a disciple and he tells you this, what are you going to want to do? I don't know about you, but I'm going to want to know. I want to see this for myself. So look what happens next. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And when Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his brother Simon and said to him, we found the Messiah, which translated means the anointed one. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter, or the rock. The word of God for the people of God. Again, John told Andrew and whoever the other disciple is what he had seen, and they said, we got to go see this for ourselves, didn't they? And notice they followed Jesus. But let's put this in a little other terms, because when we read this, it says that Jesus said, why are you following me? And they said, where are you staying? He said, come on, look where I'm staying. Throw that out. That's bland stuff. Okay? What they really asked was something like this. Jesus said, why are you following me? And they said, tell us about yourself. Who are you? Is this Lamb of God stuff really true? What's going on here? Are you who they say they were? You know, how can we know this? And what does Jesus say? Come and see. In other words, you want to know? Come on. Tell you what, let's go over here and sit down and have a cup of coffee where we can talk. And notice what it says. It says, they talked and they remained with him. In other words, they were actually engaged in conversation with him. There was give and take. There was questions. There was answers. They got to more than know who Jesus was. They got to know him for themselves. Come and see. They remained with him. They sat at his feet. They learned. They didn't just meet him. They found out who he really was. This is not a Facebook request or a Facebook relationship where you just go back and forth. This is a face-to-face where I can see your reactions. I can see your expressions. I can get the feel of your voice from the tenor. And there's no hiding. You have to be the real you, and Jesus is the real Jesus. And it excited them so much that they went and brought other people. There are many people out there today who say, well, you know, we can't really know God that way. You can't know God personally, but yet, isn't that what God has always been about? allowing himself to be known by us just as he knows each of us. You know, in the Garden of Eden, it says that God walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the eve. Wow. He walked and talked with them. If we talk about the Israelites, when he led them out into the wilderness, God spoke with Moses on the mountain, and in the tent of the meeting, the glory would come down and Moses would talk to God. Moses would go out and tell the people about him. God led them with the cloud by day and the fire by night. And didn't Jesus actually come to let us see God? Wasn't it all about us having a relationship with Almighty God himself? In fact, in John 14, Jesus says this, talking to his disciples at that upper room that night, that last Passover meal that he shared with them, he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's relationship, isn't it? Everybody together, so to speak. He continues, he says, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Reveal myself to them. And you want to tell me you can't know God? And Jesus is saying, here, I'm going to reveal myself to you. Judas, not Iscariot, the other one, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word. My Father will love them. We will come to them and make our home with them. Now, when somebody lives with you in a home, you kind of get to know them, don't you? You get to know their messy habits such as they are, Bob. May not want to tell everybody, but, you know, they leave the towel on the floor. Lonnie's shaking her head here, Joe. I'm sorry. Not anymore, huh? He doesn't do that anymore. But the habits that you kind of know who they are, what they're like. Is this saying we can know Jesus that way? I believe it is. He says he'll come and make his home with us. This is an intimate knowledge, a knowledge that God wants to share himself with us. Other nations or other religions talk about gods, but they talk about gods that we're supposed to worship. They talk about gods that require obedience and sacrifice and devotion. Yes, Lord, go ahead and speak. But Christianity is the only one that talks about a God that says, come on, get to know me. Let me have a relationship with you. Let me talk with you. Sit with you. Let me show you myself. In other scriptures, we read these things. Matthew 7, 7 to 8. This is out of the Living Bible. He says, ask and you will be given what you ask for. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks finds. If only you will knock, the door will open. In other words, let me put this in my words compared to what we're talking about today. If you want to know God, if you'll ask him and truly seek for him, he's going to show himself to you. He's going to let you know who he is. Now, I'm going to tell you, sometimes there may be some changes that have to come in your life. Because once he starts to let you know who he is and you follow him, guess what? You may have to clean some things up a little bit. But he'll help you. Jeremiah 29, 13, we were told this. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. See, God has always been about us knowing him and him knowing us. It's not something new. He's always been asking us to come and see for ourselves. Think back to our original scripture in John. Jesus said, come and see. He invited them, just as he invites you and I today. Come on, come learn who I am. Come see who I am. How do you do that? One thing is you get in here And you have to find out what he says, and you have to think about it, meditate about it, pray about it. Allow some quiet time where God can speak to you. Become involved in some of the classes. Fellowship with one another. And when I say that, I don't mean just sit here in a sanctuary an hour every Sunday morning. That's a beginning. That's part of it. But all I can do is give you a little bit. You've got to go deeper. And you've got to seek that out for yourself. However you do that, whether it be at home in your own private Bible study, or you're in a Bible study or a small group aside, hey, the day you can get on YouTube, you got books out there. There's 100 different ways. But the point is, Jesus still bids us come and see. Come and see, he told John's disciples. Come and see. Think about this. On that Easter sunrise morning when the stone was rolled away, or if you read some other commentaries, they say maybe it wasn't rolled away, maybe the power actually blew it out. But anyhow, it's open. Why is it open? So we can come and see. The grave is empty. He's not there. He's still telling us to come and see. That night that he appeared to the disciples, when he walked through that locked door, remember what he said? Come over here. Put your hands in the nail prints. Reach your hand here in the side. See, it's me. Come and see. Come and learn of me. And when they saw, remember what happened? You have to make a choice. This is the real thing. And I'm going to follow this. But unfortunately, some people could say, well, I still don't believe it, and walk away. Thank goodness the disciples made a choice. Thank goodness they remained with him. Remember that? Come and see. And after they saw, they remained with him. We have a lot of people that may come and see, come and try the church out. But that doesn't mean they remain with him. When we remain with God, we're changed. When we remain with God, we're transformed. Look at what else Jesus said in John 15 in that upper room. John 15, verse 4. No? Okay, I got it here. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like the branch and withers. Once they saw, once they had remained, once they had experienced, they were supposed to go forth and bear fruit. Bring others to know Jesus Christ. Tell others about what he had done for them. Help others learn and see Jesus for themselves. Remember what happened? In John, it says Andrew went and got his brother Peter and brought Peter. If you go to another gospel, Nathanael went and got Philip. Or if I got that backwards, Philip went and got Nathanael. He was sitting under the tree, remember? Came to Jesus, and Jesus said, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. How do you know me? I saw you when you were sitting under the fig tree. But the point is, he went and got someone and brought them to him. The disciples brought other people. We are here because we were brought by other people. Whether it be the disciples or your mother or a Sunday school teacher or somebody. Could have been the Holy Spirit, but we were brought by somebody. Have you came and seen? And who have you brought to Jesus? The disciples changed the world. They started a movement, not a religion. They started a movement that is still going on today, is still advancing today. And it still works off the same principle. Jesus, come and see. Come and see me. Who are you showing Jesus to? The followers of Jesus continue to this day, 2,000 years later, to talk about his love, his mercy, his grace. Just as disciples brought others to see Jesus, we are to be bringing people to see Jesus. And we are to be seeing him for ourselves too. Because to see him changes us, transforms us, makes us more like Him. Take your connection card, if you will. And because of what we've heard today, and you may have to go home and meditate on this, that's okay. What is your next step? Would it be to memorize John 1:39, where He said, "Come and see"? They came and saw where He was staying, and they remained with Him that day. And as you memorize that, remind yourself that you want to come and see God. And you want to bring others to come and see God. And you want to remain with Him. And you want to help them remain with Him too. All right, the rest of these are questions. Have you really seen Jesus for yourself? And if you haven't, maybe you need to start thinking about this and say, well, how do I see Jesus? And intentionally, notice how I put that, intentionally, not just haphazardly, well, I'm going to go over here and check out and see if He's here. Intentionally start looking for Jesus. Because there are times Jesus shows up and we just don't see it. We got blinders on. He's right there working in your midst. He's sitting right there next to you. He's in the aisle across from you. He's in the house across the street from you. And you just don't see Him. So maybe we have to say, Lord, open my eyes so I can see You and help me intentionally look for You. Next question, have you remained with Jesus? Because I'm going to say something that's going to get me in trouble. I think we have churches full of people who have seen Jesus, but they did not remain. And they're still out there. There may be somebody sitting right here. I saw Jesus one time, but I didn't stay at His feet and keep learning of Him. That's enough. I've seen Him once. I'll just go back here and sit down and I'll just rest in the fact that I've seen Him. Don't work that way. It's great that you've seen Him one time, but until you remain, till you abide with Him, till He abides with you, till He changes you, you haven't completed the process of becoming a true Christian. Have you remained with Jesus? And then the next question, have you shown Jesus to others? Because once you remain with Him and He changes you, you can't help but tell other people. You've got to say, man, let me tell you what happened in my life. Look where I come. You know where I was? I used to be down there at the bar at 2:30 at night begging Him to give me another round. Now look where I am. Look how far I've come. Look what God has done for me and what He's done for me. He'll do for you. And maybe we all need to check this last one that I put in here. We need to be open to God's transforming power. Because believe it or not, you can say no to God. He's a gentleman. He can say, I want to transform you. No, I don't think I want to do that, Lord. I think I'll just stay right where I am. That's not remaining with Him. That's not being transformed. That's not asking others to come see Jesus because you want to stay here while Jesus moved over here. What is your next step? I invite you to check those and put those connection cards in the plates when they come by in a few moments. Ushers, would you come forward as we pray, please? Lord, as we come before Your throne of grace again this day, I thank You for Your word. God, I thank You for Your invitation. God, I thank You that You invited me to come and see, and that You invited everyone else in here to come and see, and that You invite the world to come and see who You are. Help us to really sit at Your feet. Take the veil from our eyes. Remove the scales from our eyes. Take the blinders off. Let us see what an amazing, wonderful, loving God You are. And as we see those things, work in us to transform us. Take the hate, the guilt, the prejudices, and whatever else may be, or the greed, the envy. Take it away and allow Your love and Your mercy and Your grace to fill us so that it comes forth in streams of living water. It comes forth in our words, in our actions, and even our face and our smile as we talk with other people. Transform us to be Your witnesses in this world. Help us to be generous as we pass the plate in a moment. Thank you for those who are giving of their tithes, their pledges, their offerings. Help us to use these in such a way that people come and see you. You, not us, you. And are changed because of your love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If when the ushers are passed, if you would stand, Bob will lead us in our last hymn, I believe.